The following audio is a Sunday sermon from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Para Vista, South Australia. For more information about the church, please go to paravista.org.au.
When you hear that Jesus was indignant, how do you understand that? I think he was cranky. I think he was cheesed off. I think he was not amused. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, come. We invite you to come and be in our midst and pour your spirit into our hearts so we can understand better who you are and who we are as your kingdom people. Amen. Well, today we're looking at the King's invitation, repent and believe the good news. You're familiar with the story of the fairy tale Cinderella? Do you remember the story, how it begins? Does anybody know what Cinderella was doing at the start of the story? She was scrubbing floors and cooking and cleaning for who? Her wicked stepmother and her two ugly stepsisters. In effect, she was like a house slave, yes? And then the king's ball's coming and the stepmother and stepsisters are going to the ball, and there's no way on earth that Cinderella is able to go to the ball until something happens. Poof, there's a fairy godmother. All of a sudden, there is new possibilities for Cinderella. A swishy ball gown, glass slippers, a glass carriage, and mice turn into horses to take her there. And she gets there and she spends the evening dancing with the handsome prince until the hour of midnight. And she's got a beeline for home before everything goes back to the way it was. And yes, it took a fair while for the prince to find out the woman whose foot fit the slipper, but once that got established, I don't think Cinderella thought, oh, I'd much rather go back to the grimy kitchen than go off with you, handsome prince. No, what does she do? She marries a prince and they live happily ever after. You know it. Well, at the start of his ministry, this is sort of Jesus offering new possibilities. The time has come, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Last Sunday, we talked about Jesus being the king who ushers in the kingdom of God and establishes it here on planet Earth. In Jesus, we see God walking towards his people to always do them good. Nowhere and on no occasion does Jesus impose himself on others. Rather, he notices people with hurts and needs and he responds to them with compassion and restorative action, always using his kingly authority to do people good. He sets people free from guilt and shame and despair and brokenness and offers them a hope and a future of God's making. Is that good news? Yes? Well, the good news for you and me is that through his perfect life, his death and resurrection, Jesus has removed every barrier that gets between us and God so we can do life in his kingdom, following Jesus as our king, so we get to be partners and participants in God's restoration plan for his world. The good news is that this kingdom that Jesus brings is always a gift. Always a gift of grace. Now that offends a lot of people because some people think they can impress God with their own performance, that they can earn a place in God's heart or his heaven through the good things they do. Well, it's just not possible. And the people who think they're good stuff should get them into God's heaven, think they're actually better than God, because God says all the good stuff you do is not going to paper over the bad stuff you do or outweigh it. You need to be forgiven. You need to be made right to enter into my heaven, into my kingdom. And so the kingdom is always a gift. It comes to us. The kingdom comes to us through the good news of Jesus. And we need to receive Jesus and his bundle of gifts with open arms. Jesus says we need to have the posture of children. In our reading before, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Kids love to receive presents, don't they? I have never seen a kid say, no, I don't want that present. No, it's let me get into it. Let me enjoy it. A couple of reflection questions for you this morning. Do I think I can earn God's love and approval by my own efforts? And the second one, am I too proud to accept forgiveness and eternal life as God's gift to me in Jesus? So how do we come into this kingdom? Well, the king's invitation is repent and believe the good news. Let's unpack those couple words. Repent. In the Old Testament, the word for repent means to do a U-turn. So I'm going down the wrong path, and instead I turn back to God and seek to walk in his path, what he wants for me as his person. In the New Testament, a couple of different words, change of heart or change of mind with respect to my standing with God and where my life is. It's not just feeling sorry for the wrong stuff I've done. It's a complete change of the center of my life. No longer about my way and what I want and God's got a rubber stamp, but no. God becomes the center. Jesus becomes king. And now I do life or seek to do life as he wants. A complete and utter change of the center of my life and what my life is all about. In a nutshell, it's receiving Jesus as king and master of my life. Now, the words Jesus uses here are interesting because they have, it's not just a one-off thing, but it's an ongoing thing. Can we have the next slide? Repent and believe in this verse means keep on repenting and keep on believing the good news throughout one's life. We'll come back to that a bit later. Repent and believe. Some people say, well, first of all, you've got to repent and you've got to feel really bad about all the bad stuff you've done, and then you've got to believe. I think they are two sides of the same coin. Let me explain. In order to let go of the stuff of the past, we need to believe that God already has something better for us. You're familiar with the story of the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15. This son divorces himself from his family. He's the younger son, and he says to dad, well, if you were dead, I'd get your inheritance, so give it to me now because I don't want to be part of this family anymore. And he takes all his loot, and he goes to a foreign country, and he lives it up in wild living until he runs out of money, he runs out of friends, there's a famine in the land, and where does he end up? Tending pigs. A wealthy Jewish boy, once wealthy, now tending pigs. Doesn't get any lower than this. But when the bottom falls out of his bottom, he suddenly realizes, oh, hang on. Back in my father's household, even the hired servants have more than enough to eat. And here I am, starving to death. Maybe if I go back to my dad and I apologize, just maybe he will give me a job so I can make some money so I can buy food for myself. And off he goes. He repents. He turns back to his father. And when his father sees him, what happens? His father runs to him, embraces him, and doesn't just give him a job, but reinstates him as a treasured son with all the rights and privileges of the household. Friends, that is always, always God's heart for every person who turns back to him. Friends, I think when we're dealing with people one-on-one, I don't think biblical repentance is reminding them of all the bad stuff they've done, particularly when they are already reaping the consequences. I don't think it's remotely helpful to hurting people to rub their faces in it. That's not the compassion of Jesus. That's not the heart of Jesus, yet it's what Christians often do. Friends, I think biblical repentance comes when we announce the good news of Jesus with the new possibilities he has in store for those who will receive him and do life with him. You see, when we believe Jesus has our best interests at heart, something far better than we can ever imagine on our own, then we want to leave our rubbish behind. Yes? Yes? Who wants to go back to the grimy kitchen when I can do life with the prince? Let me explain it another way. Imagine you're living in a country where there's civil war going on and people are being robbed and mugged and treated shamefully. Now, if you are living in a country like that, what do you long for? To get out of it, don't you? To go to another place. There are millions of people in the world in that position at the moment. And if they can come to another place where they can live freely, where they're not persecuted, where they have some basic care, then they often want to become citizens. That may mean renouncing their old citizenship, but they want to do it because now they're in a place of safety, a place of peace, a place where at last they feel, oh, I can relax, I'm at home. Isn't that what it means to become a Christian? To find a place in God's heart and a home in God's heaven, to know that you belong to him now and forever. And isn't that what happens at a baptism? I renounce the devil and his works and ways. I now declare my allegiance to the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I confess Jesus as my Lord and King. Friends, this isn't just a one-off event that happens in our baptism. Jesus says that repenting and believing is a way of life. Jesus says, hey, daily, if we're going to follow him, we need to take up a cross, die to the right to run my life my way, and yield to Jesus as king or managing director over my life. It means putting Jesus first, before my will, before my wants, before my plans and dreams, before all my aspirations, before my fears and anxieties, before my pride, my popularity, my whatever. It means asking Jesus, what do you want for me in this thing I'm looking at the moment, thinking about at the moment? It means finding out the word and will of God, and then asking the Spirit of God and the people of God to help us to put it into practice. Friends, the kingdom of God is countercultural, and to live in the kingdom of God means taking our cues from Jesus as our King. A couple reflection questions. Am I too self-satisfied or proud to submit to Jesus as my King? In what areas of my life do I refuse to surrender to Jesus? And why do I do that? Is it because I don't trust that he has my best interests at heart? Or is it simply because I'm too pig-headed and stubborn? Well, what does Jesus want for you in those parts of your life? The good news is that Jesus always has something better. Something better. And we come into those better things when we let go of all the things we know are wrong and keep on believing and following Jesus as our king. And the people of God said, Amen. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, before we sang and declared that you are my king and you are our king, I pray, Lord, for each person here that seeks Good Shepherd as their home, each person who confesses you as Lord, that your spirit would convince us that your heart is always good towards us and that you always want something better for us than we can ever grab onto by our own. Help us to encourage one another in the journey of following you, and help us to do this seasoned with grace, seasoned with love, seasoned with mercy and kindness, so your heart can connect with other people's hearts. Amen.